Little children, as we saw here with the rainbow nativity, have some of the funniest little sayings. There was a little girl that was helping her mom prepare and set the table for Christmas, and she says, "I know what Jesus' last name is. And the mom said, "Well, honey, what's his last name?" And she said, "Well, he's Swede. His nationality is Swede, so it's got to be a Swedish name." And she was trying to figure it out, and the mother said, "Honey, Jesus wasn't Swedish, he was Jewish." And she says, "No, I can prove it to you." And then she started singing, "Away in the manger, no crib for a bed. Now let sweet little Jesus lay down his sweet Swede little head." So she thought Jesus was a Swede. Well, sometimes we hear some of the strangest things. And we've been at, I think of the angels and the shepherds and the cattle lowing and the sheep sleeping, wise men traveling and kings wandering, busy innkeepers and common people. And we've looked at Mary and Joseph. And of course, during this season, how can you forget Santa Claus? And then we have sweet Jesus. We've heard the Christmas story over and over again. And most of you have probably heard the Christmas story as long as you've been going to church. And I wondered how the different accounts of the birth of Christ came about through the Bible. Dr. Luke, he gives us the birth story, and we've looked at it. He gives us the birth story of John the Baptist in chapter 1. And then he gives us the birth story of Jesus in chapter 2. But Matthew, when he tells us the birth story, he gives us in chapter 1 a genealogy. And he lays out all the generations leading up to Jesus. And then he gives us the birth story of Jesus. During the first week of Advent, we looked at this birth story or this Advent journey through the eyes of an old priest, Zechariah. And I've encouraged you, it's not too late to go back and read chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Luke. Maybe you've read it this season, read it again. Or read chapter 1 of Matthew, and you'll see the announcement of the birth of Christ. Zechariah was an old priest, and he heard, he saw an angel when he's in the Holy of Holies, and the angel said, "Do not be afraid, your prayer has been answered." And we lit the Advent candle of hope. Think of praying a prayer 40 years, for his wife was barren, and then God shows up. I think the message that first week of Advent was, even in our silence, better yet, even in God's silence, we can wait with hope. And then in the second week of Advent, we looked at, I said we went from preaching to meddling because we had a first-person message, and Joseph showed up. And Joseph shared his heart with us, his fear, his doubt, his anger, when all of his dreams were shattered. And then the third week of Advent, we looked through the eyes of a little teenage girl who went eagerly to follow what the angel had said to her. The angel said, "Well, Mary, you found favor with God, and you're going to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit with the Christ child." And she says, she didn't say, "Why me?" She didn't say, "When? How?" But she said, "How can this be?" And the angel said, "For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God." I think of the hope and the love and the joy of Christmas. Today we're going to look at an Old Testament passage in Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. I put it, well, you can go back to that screen, go back one. When we came to understand the Advent love, that was what Mary did. God with us. When things don't go as we planned, as we're able to say, "God, not my plans, but yours." This is the Advent love that we, our hearts will need as we accept the plan God has for us, plans for good and plans for our hope and our love. The Advent is an interruption into our normal schedules. Advent means coming. And a lot of us kind of like, well, we like things the way we have it. And yet God comes in and changes everything. So our Old Testament passage comes from Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, you see how personal that is? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. And the zeal, the passion, the fire of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The prophecy of Isaiah was 600 years before the birth of Christ. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting, that means eternal, Father, and he'll be our Prince of Peace. And the government, the rule of the world, is on his shoulders. Now Luke gives us the account of the birth of Christ, and I'm going to read it. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now the angel appeared to Zechariah, and the angel appeared to Mary. And in the vision, Joseph had the appearance of an angel. And now the angel appears to the shepherds. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Same words that Zechariah heard, the same words that Mary heard, the same words that Joseph heard. It's the same words that we should hear. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The angels say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to on those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So my question to you this week, how's it going? How's it going? How's your Advent? I mean, this is the last Sunday. Christmas Eve is in 2 more days. Christmas is in 3 days. Are you stressed out? Are you going to make it? Is it going to happen? Is all the list taken care of? You've checked it twice. To be honest with you, when I began Advent this year, I wondered, God, can you do it again? Can you do it again? I entered Advent, and I'm going to just share my heart. I entered Advent running on empty. I had a really, really hard year this year with my chelation, and my third round of chelation was really hard on me, and there were other things that I entered looking at my preaching calendar. I wrote in my journal, God, can you do it again? And I preached Christmases for 20-some years. And then I shared with you when I began Advent, how can you preach this any different? What, I mean, you've heard these stories. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you probably have heard them 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You've read this story over and over again. So I said, can you do it again? To be honest with you, before Advent, I opened up a book that I had read a while back, and it's by Wayne Cordero. And Wayne Cordero wrote this book, Leading on Empty. And I came to Advent empty. And I said, God, can you do it again? I don't know if you've ever been on empty. I think we all have at different times. And I said, can you do it again, God? And I read through the book again. I love to read. And I read through it again. And there's a line in there that he put in his book. What fills you and what empties you? That was his question. What fills you and what empties you? And you can't, you know, of course, his thesis of the book, you can't lead when you're empty. And if you're empty, you need something to fill you. And I think at times we all get empty, especially with the rush and the hecticness of trying to get everything done for Christmas. Some of us go, man, I've heard it, I just wish this season would be over. It's just too much work. So, do we really believe that God is with us? Emmanuel. To be honest with you, this 4 Sundays of Advent, I've probably been preaching to myself. You guys get to listen to what I have to say. Can we really believe like Mary when the angel says to Mary, nothing is impossible for God? Do we believe that? Do I believe that? Do you believe it? Have you ever thought of entering these Christmas stories? And I've challenged you this year to try and enter the story and look through the eyes of Zechariah, or look through the eyes of Joseph. In fact, we said, let's get in Joseph's sandals, and Joseph couldn't even find his sandals that week and had to go barefoot. Can we enter into this story? Is their story our story? How about trying to get into a teenage girl who's told that even though she's not married, she's going to be pregnant? Can we enter into that story? And now we get a busy innkeeper, and there's no place at the end, and we're going to hear about shepherds and angels. And can you enter into the story? This morning, I'd like for us to think about the shepherds for just a few moments. Many of you know shepherds were overlooked, outcast, they were ostracized, they were uneducated. They were not allowed to go to church. In fact, they were not allowed to go to the synagogue because they were unclean. They were overlooked. They were outcast. Yet, they weren't overlooked by God. The story is they're out in their field tending their sheep at night, probably a dark night. Those who sat in darkness... That's what Isaiah said. I grew up in the country. You people that grew up here in the city, you don't know what it's like to be out in the country, out without any streetlights, without any lights. It's dark. And here are the shepherds sitting in darkness, keeping watch over their sheep, and they see a great light. And the angel of the Lord says to them, "Do not be afraid." I think we all would be terrified. If you've been camping, I've been camping, I know you've been camping something, you're laying in your tent and you hear a sound. Was that a bear? Was that a wolf? Who's in my camp? And here the angel, they see a great light and the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you..." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're outcasts. They're kind of ostracized. They're overlooked by the society. They're unclean. And an angel appears to them and says, "I bring you good news." Maybe at times you feel overlooked. I think if I was planning this story, I wouldn't bring the news to some outcast, overlooked, ostracized, unclean people. I would probably find CNN, ABC, CBS, all the news channels, and I would put it out on the news channels. I would bring it to priests and prophets and kings, but no, God brings it to shepherds. Maybe you don't feel important. Maybe you feel like you're overlooked a little bit. The message is for you. The message of Christmas is for you. I bring good news of great joy for all people. So what? Here we are. It's the fourth Sunday of Advent. And we've been journeying through Advent, and we've found hope and love and joy and peace. And we've looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, and now we're looking through the eyes of these shepherds. The gospel tells us that they saw the angels, they heard the message, and it says that they, probably after the angels stopped singing and the light stopped blinding their eyes, they said, "Let's go see. Let's find out if this is true." And I think God speaks to us. I know God speaks to us. And sometimes we stop listening and we don't go and see. I have a... Emmanuel, I don't know if I put it up there yet. This is your so what for today. Some people have asked me, why is Emmanuel spelled with an I in some places and it's spelled with an E? It's really simple. In the Hebrew Bible, you read the Hebrew right to left, and the Hebrew Emmanuel begins with a small I vowel. So if you're Hebrew, you would spell Emmanuel with an I. But if you're Greek or come from the Latin, or like we would see Emmanuel, we read from left to right, and it begins with a small E in the Greek. So it's Emmanuel. So some people spell it with an I. If they are spelling it with an I, they probably have some Hebrew heritage, or they use that. Or if they spell it with an E, it's the same meaning. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. And so my question for you this week is, are you going to find God with us? Are you going to find God with us? Our so what comes with this. What did you find this Advent? What have you experienced along your Advent journey so far? How do you feel about the news of the angels? Don't be afraid. What are you going to do with the news? Will you find Christmas and change? Will you find Christmas and stay the same? Everyone that encountered their Advent journey, as you read Matthew, as you read Luke, their lives were forever changed. They didn't go to the manger and go, oh, nice. Their lives were changed. My prayer is that our lives will be changed. Will we find Emmanuel, God with us? Will it help you fill you with what's empty and empties you? Will you start to fill your life with what fills you and empty your life with what empties you? That's my question. Maybe I'm writing to myself. Will I find things that are going to fill me up so that I can go and empty myself out again? Will I find Christmas in my wife and in my children and their children and my family? I find Christmas every Sunday. To me, every Sunday's Christmas. I find Christmas in our worship team. I find Christmas in Hughes's hugs. I find Christmas here, not just once a year, but every Sunday it's a gift to be opened. It's a time to share. I find Christmas when I make home visits and do communions and pastoral counseling and prayer. I find Christmas when we're together. Like Zechariah, God entered into his silence and said, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. And he offered him hope. For Joseph, he entered into his dreams that were shattered and offered him his love. For Mary, well, he entered into her life and said, there's going to be joy and unspeakable joy in your life. And your son's going to bring joy. And for the shepherds, peace on earth and to all who favor him. My challenge to you this Christmas, maybe my challenge to myself, is to take out the things of your lives that empty you and replace the things in your heart that fills you. My prayer is that your heart will become a manger for the Christ child. And your heart will be filled with the hope and the love and the joy and the peace of Advent. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this Advent season. Lord, take out of our lives the things that empty us and fill our lives with your hope, with your love, with your joy, and with your peace. Fill our lives with Emmanuel. Let the manger of God with us be in our hearts, not just on Christmas or Christmas Eve, but even when we pack up all the Christmas decorations. May Christmas live in our hearts each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing a Christmas carol. If you'd like to have special prayer, I'll be up here for prayer after the service. I think Miss Jack's coming to tell us what they've done here. Know that what a joy it is to have our children here, and let them share. What do we have, Miss Jack?
We have the Rainbow Angel.
We have the Rainbow Angel.
Yeah, and okay. That was really great fun. She has rainbow wings. We drew her face, we picked everything out, we decorated her, and we learned something that angels always say when they appear. What do they say? Say it with me. Do not be afraid. And then they deliver news of great joy that our Savior has been born. Great job.
Yeah, great job.
Can we walk out with one verse of O Come Let Us Adore Him? Okay, show the people your angels.
Walk out this way. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. Go in peace. Go in peace with the Prince of Peace, and let him rule and reign in your hearts. And all of God's people said, Amen.